food and water. Everybody needs it, right? This week's Bible passage is about food and water. These two very familiar passages, these two very familiar miracles, and actually told in a slightly different way than we usually read them. These two miracles are two that you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and different things are recorded in different ones, and John is usually out there with all kinds of different stuff that isn't in the others. But feeding the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water are in, I think, all of them, and we hear it differently. This one has a different angle on the story, but we've got 5,000 people being fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish and 12 baskets left over. Then you've got Jesus walking on the water in a storm. And they're about food, and they're about water. And everyone needs food, and everyone needs water to live. So I want you to do something for me as we start this today. Look past the miracles. Look past the magical appearing of enough food for everyone to eat. I don't know how Jesus did it. It is the correct answer. How did Jesus make enough? I don't know. Special effects. But it wouldn't be special effects. It would be real effects. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everybody ate. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say that it was like Midas's basket. It doesn't say that everybody just started taking stuff out. It doesn't say everybody shared. It just says 5 loaves and 2 fish, 12 baskets left over, and everybody had enough. So just pay attention to that and try not to get special effects into your mind. And on the walking on the water, get Bruce Almighty out of your head and just think, okay, Jesus did something that they didn't think was possible. Look past the miracles and let's get something that we can learn from these. Because if all we learn from these two miracles of Jesus is that Jesus can do magic things, that's kind of like they're coming to take me by force to make me king. That doesn't really teach us anything, and the Bible has a lot to teach. Like the question, what's significant about the food? Is it that the people were starving and Jesus came to the rescue? Probably not. Is it that the people needed to be fed or they'd become sick and die? No. Is it that Jesus understood that people like to share a meal together and that he gave them the opportunity to gather together and share a meal? Maybe that's closer, I don't know. Is it that out of almost nothing, God provided enough? Yes. Is it that looking at an impossible situation and finding out that God has ways of making the impossible possible? That's kind of the track that I'm going. And then what's significant about the water? Is it that there's always possibly storms in our lives? Maybe we can learn that. Is it that no matter how far we try to row out, or what's another way to row? Row, that's more the keel part, or I don't know, what is that called? It's a rudder, but there's a way of flipping the oar over and going back and forth and making a rowboat move really slowly. But is it that no matter how far we try to row out from God, that he's still there? He's still very near, terrifyingly so? Is it that when we think we're in dire straits, that God has already been guiding us to safety? You notice that Jesus was walking on the water, and they were terrified, and then they're at the shore. Or is it also that we're looking at an impossible situation and finding out that God has ways of making the impossible possible? 5 questions that are in those two parts. So let me clarify those. If you're writing stuff down, this would be the stuff to write down, or you just get a copy of this later. 1, Jesus understands us and gives us opportunities to be together. 2, out of almost nothing, God provides enough. If you're hungry and you want some food, share. No matter how far we try to row out from Jesus, he's still near. Terrifyingly so sometimes. And when we think we're in dire straits, God has already begun guiding us to safety. And then that final one, God has ways of making the impossible possible. So those 5 are probably, no, they are. They're teachable moments. They're teachable statements. Maybe they give you something to think about. And if you're thinking on one of those throughout the sermon, that's okay. Just go with that. Forget what else I have to say and just think about that one thing and just keep going. And if I'm bothering you, just sort of look at me and go, shh, I'm thinking. But I'm going to go on with some other stuff while you're thinking about those. Maybe they challenge you. Maybe they challenge you to move forward in your faith, like the first one. Jesus understands us and gives us opportunities to be together. Together here in church, or together in the community, like at Summerfest. Together working. Next week, several folks are going to be working together. Together serving. Together sharing with each other. If you're hungry and you want something to eat, together loving God and loving each other. Jesus understands us and gives us opportunities to be together. Out of almost nothing, God provides enough. As in, enough for everyone to have enough. Enough when we follow God's call to care for one another. I don't know how the magical thing happens, how everyone gets enough. But when we care for one another and we reach out to one another and we give when we're hungry, there's enough. Enough to share with people who don't yet have enough. There's plenty of people in the world. There's people in our community. There's people in our state. There's people throughout the world that don't have enough. And there is enough. Enough to share with those who don't yet have enough. Enough to know that when we serve each other, we see that God provides enough. Enough love for God in each other. Out of almost nothing, God provides enough. And that other one, no matter how far we try to row out from Jesus, he's still near, sometimes terrifyingly so. When we come to church on Sunday, Jesus is near. But if we don't come to church on Sunday, Jesus is near. When we do the right thing every day, Jesus is near. When we don't do the right thing all too often, Jesus is near. When we're in trouble, Jesus is near. When things are going great, Jesus is near. When we're sharing with one another, Jesus is near. When we're loving God and loving each other, Jesus is near. When we are acting hateful, Jesus is near. That's sometimes the terrifyingly so. There is no place that we can go where Jesus is not near. The psalmist describes, where can I go to be away from God? Nowhere. You can't go anywhere that God is not or that God has not been. You can't go to any place on the continent and bring God where God has not been, because God is there. God has already been there. No matter how far we try to row out from Jesus, he's still near, terrifyingly so. And when we think we're in dire straits, God has already begun guiding us to safety. This is a tougher one to grasp, or it's a tough one to even talk about, because it's hard to trust that God is guiding us to safety when the worst things are happening. And it's tough to say that God has a plan and stuff when awful things happen. And let me tell you that when awful things happen, the worst thing to say right away is God has a plan in all of this, because when horrible things are happening, people don't need to hear that. People need to hear, I am so sorry. People need to hear, here's a shoulder to lean on. How can I help? That's why it's a tough one. When we're in dire straits, God has already been guiding us to safety. We can usually see that in the rearview mirror. But we're in the midst of it, and sometimes the midst of it lasts way too long. When we see devastation in the world, it seems impossible to believe that God is already guiding us to safety. And when there isn't enough and we feel completely separated from God, it's hard to believe that God is already guiding us to safety. But when we're sharing with one another, maybe it's a little easier to believe that God is already guiding us to safety. So there are times where we can see this and experience it. And there are times when it's just too hard to grasp. When we're loving God and loving each other, it gets even easier to experience the reality that God is guiding us to safety. And then, God has ways of making the impossible possible. Nope. No way that can be done. But God can make the impossible possible. Restoring that relationship will not happen. It's impossible. I am too angry with them. But God can make the impossible possible. I can't talk to that person and invite them to church. I'm terrified. But God can make the impossible possible. There's not enough love in the world for that person. They have been awful to everyone forever. But God can make the impossible possible. This storm is too much. It's too fierce. I can't make it. But God can make the impossible possible. Jesus understands us and gives us opportunities to be together. Out of almost nothing, God provides enough. No matter how far out we try to row away from Jesus, He's still near, terrifyingly so sometimes. When we think we're in dire straits, God has already been guiding us to safety. And no matter what, no matter who, no matter where, whether we're experiencing calm or rough seas, God has a way of making the impossible possible. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for what you do. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for making what is impossible into something possible. Amen.